Wednesday, the 24th of December, Gimel Hanukkah, Rabbi Michael Schaff, the production of dairy products.
We have chosen the topic, speaking a little bit about dairy products. I don't know if we already spoken about it. I think someone said we did comment once about the subject, but I thought, since everybody knows the Ramo in Hilchas Chanukah, the Ramo brings over the Ma'ase with Yehudis, which Bas Yehonon Kohen Godel, who gave cheese to eat to the Koenig at the time, to the king, and he fell asleep and he chopped his head, and she went out, and Azori Taki, everybody ran away. From this, Shetim Maril, the Ranbenker of the Kolboy, all the Rishonim, that from here is a minig, and we eat Divrei Cholov, and a particular Gvinah steak as on the Chanukah. Kedei Lizkor Es HaNes, we should remember the Nes. That's all. Perhaps it's a good opportunity to talk about the cheese. Especially, I think it will be the first time that I'm going to reveal, I think I personally feel it's a breakthrough in the cashless world that we managed the last week. It's a new thing which I don't think anybody knows about it. So I think I'm going to mention it here. I think that's most appropriate. Before going to that, to reveal this secret, I just want to explain how the dairy product goes along in the industry. Everyone knows that Avada, the halacha is that we need to have cholov from a kosher animal, poshut as a halacha from kol hayoytzei min ha'tomer tomer. This is something which comes out from a non-kosher animal, it will be non-kosher anyway. There is a special posuk in Gemara in the Bechoyres, in Davov, the Gemara brings out a posuk. How do we know that milk is kosher? At the end of the day, it's a shaila from Eved Min HaChai, the behemoth, the animal is still alive. So the Gemara brings various psukim, various droshas. I think the maskolof of the Gemara is, in the Torah state, Eretz Zovos Cholov Udvash, and could not be that the Torah is Meshabeach Eretz Yisroel, that is the cholov, and something that you're not allowed to eat. I think this is the maskolof of the Gemara, as far as I remember, that this is the raya that milk, the Torah automatically made milk. Dvash, what we're talking about here, we're talking obviously dvash devorim. Sorry, dvash tomorim. Dvash tomorim and not dvash devorim. And perhaps another time we'll talk about the issue, and lately there's a huge issue about a different type of honey which comes out of insects. And it means that the beans actually go and suck a certain type of insect and the honey comes out of it. So the question is, that if it's mutter or not, but it's a completely different subject, we don't want to go into it. But Kuponim, the Torah, Cholov Udvash, we're talking about milk and honey from tomorrow. In milk, Cholov Yisroel, everybody knows that Bizman HaGemorah, the Gemorah said that milk, the goyim used to be to blend Cholov Tohor, what the Gemara called it, Cholov Tohor, which comes from a behemoth Tohor, and Cholov Tome, which comes from a non-kosher animal. Now, very quickly to understand, really, what was the purpose of this blend? It was not really from a shortage of milk which comes out from a kosher animal, from Cholov Tohor. There is something very interesting here. The fact, still today, is that Cholov Tohor goes off very quickly. After a day, 2 days maximum without a refrigerator, the milk goes off. I mean, I'm sure some people remember at the time you used to go to milk in the morning on a daily basis as they used to live. It was not such a thing, separation. The milk, after a day, we used to take the cream and to churn it to become butter. I'm sure that some people will remember that, if I do remember. So there is definitely, so what they used to do, the milk, Cholov Tome, when you put it, you add it into Cholov Tohor, it's like a preservative. And it keeps longer and longer the milk. So the idea, this is one thing, and another issue which is maybe more creamy. But the real truth of the matter is, we find that it was done as a preservative. And recently, not long ago, people did find, not in Europe, we're not going very far, in Europe, that some farmers who had only a little amount of milk on a daily basis, they didn't want to transport their milk on every day to have a truck to come to collect the milk from the farm to the dairy, what we call to the manufacturing place. So they had someone to collect it every so often, every 3 days, and they put cholov tomei in it in order to preserve it. So mainly the issue of cholov tomei is still today. And I don't want to go into the ganze issue of what people call stam, cholov stam, mean factory milk or government controlled milk, which everybody knows, the head of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was one of the biggest poskim, who were matir, non-supervised, because from the Zman HaGemora until today, the halacha was you need to supervise milk to make sure that there is no taruvus with cholov tomei. Rav Moshe Feinstein came with the idea that the idea is not that we should control it. The idea that we should have a security and a guarantee that there was not cholov tomei in it. So if the government has such a strict rule, so Rav Moshe comes with a long tshuva in Chelek Aleph in Yehudeh, and he finds a heter, although he writes quite clearly to Sinish, you know, a blank check. It's something that we find a heter through the difficult time, and it's difficult to go and to be showing the milk all around the country, especially for people who are in some remote places that you can't reach. So you find the heter. Interesting enough is that there is a different tshuva from a yeshiva in America who was in a certain area, it was very difficult for them to get cholov yisrael, and the yeshiva asked Rav Moshe if he can buy the cholov akum, or the cholov stam, what they call it in America, but non-supervised, just the government milk. And the second issue, it was much cheaper as well. So Rav Moshe wrote him cholila to be to use cholov akum for a yeshiva, a moset, that's definitely not done in a mokum or chinuch ha-toyre, which someone definitely is not made for. It was the whole heter was made for people are remote places who have no choice. So he worked out a mokum heter of beemesis. Zicher, it's not the mokum lehatrin to be mechamech doyres in this way. Hakoponim, we come up to the whole of Israel, wherever it is, shoymer's milk. Later on, we wanted to target is the manufacturing of cheese. In order to manufacture cheese, you need to coagulate the milk. We say you coagulate the milk, there is a few ways to do it. Either you're taking raw milk, what they called, whole milk, with the cream, everything, or you separate the cream from the milk, if you want a light cheese, for example, you don't have too much fat in it, and you put something in it, which is called a remet, which is a dovra maimid, which Mechamet, what the Gemara called it, and it used to be a certain enzyme which is found in an animal, basically in the caver from the animal, which is being taken. So there's two ways to do cheese. Either you take the milk and you put it in the caver, into the animal stomach, and the enzyme work with the milk. This is one way. And let's forget about the problem from Bosso Becholov and so on, which is a different, obviously the special way of to do it. Or you can take out this enzyme, this liquid, which is found in the animal, and you put it in the milk. Obviously, once upon a time, they used to take the milk and put it inside. It was not much of the quantity. I think today we'll struggle to do so. So, what we do is we extract what they call an enzyme, a renet, which is dovra maimit, from the stomach, and you put it into the milk. What actually happened is, those enzyme work and separate and the fat, the protein, from the water of the milk. And you suddenly have two pieces in the liquid. You got liquid, and you got the curd, what they called. It's the fat and the protein would swim on top. It become like a heavy cream, and you're starting to cut it with special knife, and you get small curds. This is made through the serenet what you put inside. This is what Chazal called dovra maimit, because you are maimit from a liquid to become a solid. That's what we call the Ramayim. With Man Chazal, Chazalom ge'asot any type of gvina. for various reasons. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings five reasons of the Isur, and one of the Isurim obviously is because Shema Midim Bei Dobra Mamit Shem Behemet Meir. You're taking the stomach from Behemet Meir, yeah, or Nevele or Trefer, and you put it into a kosher milk and you coagulate it. Or there was another Isur because after you make the cheese, still today in England, there's a cheese which is called traditional cheese and is much sold in this period of the year. It's poshut, after they down the cheese, they put mamash chazer fat around the cheese to seal it. And it's called traditional cheese. And they'll seal it and make a crust around. It's a special design type. It's very, very well known in England as a traditional cheese. So this was one of the problems. So, but there was another way of doing it. Rather than to take the stomach, the enzyme, the liquid from the stomach, you can use a certain liquid from vegetable, from some plantation, which have also the certain acid, which help to coagulate, which this is the fact of today. That's what we do today. We don't use any more the stomach. It's, I think the last time where real stomach was used is, I think, about 35 years ago. In Israel, they made, they didn't have at the time, for kosher le-Pesach, for all around the head, vegetable, normal renet, what we called, they made out of the stomach of a chicken. It was very complicated. Rabbi Michzitzok have a long tshuva, beautiful, wording. He said exactly the whole formulation, how many chickens they needed. We're talking the thousands and thousands of chicken and stomach to extract this liquid and so on. As upon him, today Chazal were going there, although we are using only vegetarian renet, or the Afan Piken, without, you can do it with a stomach, or from Trefer, or different choshes we have in cheese, so Chazal Oms Gehashet. So that's why you need to have a Hashgoch B'Shach, the cheese making. Now there's an interesting Shach, the Shach Brit Amamam Rosenberg, that he said, that who asked the question, who need physically to put this renet into this milk to coagulate? Is the yid who need to do it, or any goy who also is allowed to do it? Yeah, because it's irrelevant. The main purpose is to make sure that it's a kosher material. So the Maharam Rotenburg want to bring a raya that in the Mishnah and Avodah Zarah, when the Mishnah talks about Bishur Akum and Afiyat Akum, the Mishnah carry on and talk about Cholov Akum and Gvinas Akum. So why did the Mishnah bring them all together? So he said, the same halacha like Bishur, because you are changing the status of the food. Yeah, it was not edible, now it become edible, or the completely different view. Pas you make from some water and flour, suddenly you make a dough and you make a bread. The same halacha about cheese as well. You have done from a liquid, you have done a cheese, which is a block, a solid. In mainly the Yisroel need to do it, and the Shach brings up the halacha, definitely the chatchila that Yisroel should do it. And something which I think most of the Kashrut authority are makbid in it, and you can't rely, even Ramosha writes quite clearly on that, you cannot rely on the company tell you they have put the kosher or not, you need to have a hashgoch, obviously. This is one of the things. These different ingredients which is used in the cheese today as well, is something what is called a culture. Culture is not a Dover HaMaimed as such, but it helps, it's a special bacteria who help the taste, the quality, the maturity of the cheese. So mainly you put the MS, there's two things in the cheese, in the milk. You put the rennet from one side, and you put the culture, it's always a milky culture. It's a bacteria which grows on various medium, like milk powder, whey powder, and so on. And you put it, and according to the culture, you'll get the final product. So for yogurt, you need a yogurt culture, and for cheese, a different cheese culture, and obviously for different cheese, you need different culture as well. You can't put a culture for hard cheese to a soft cheese, which have a different taste completely. So it's very important to have the right, correct culture. To produce a culture, it's a long story and explanation, but one of the biggest issues is that culture is a very expensive ingredient to produce. And to produce a cholov Yisrael is even more. And you need a lot of cholov Yisrael powder, because usually it's made out of powder, the medium, and various other ingredients in it, which is very complicated. And you should know that many kashrus authority are not using cholov Yisrael culture in the dairy product. Why? Because first of all, it's very difficult to obtain, and the range of culture is very limited. Yeah, just 2 weeks ago, a new one came out, and it was Azar Simcha for the factory, that, oh, Baruch Hashem, we can use, and they blend one with another to try to reach a certain culture which is they need. But the problem is that the culture are expensive, are difficult to do, and the demand is so limited, so mainly a lot of cash authority, they rely that although they make a product Chol Yisrael, yeah, they can make a product Chol Yisrael, but they say, look, we have no choice, we can't use the Chol Yisrael culture because it would not reflect on the final product, really the standard what the company want to reach. So mainly they find a certain coolers for the culture. Now, to make cheese, if you want to a plain cheddar, you add the culture, you add the rennet, you put them together, you coagulate it, you take the curd, you separate them, you drain the curd from the whey, which is the liquid out of the milk, and then you press it. So when you press, you're actually removing the excess of whey, and you're starting to get a block. And you leave it for a couple of months to mature. That's why you got mature cheddar, which is usually from 5-6 months onward. Mild cheddar is usually about 4 months. And obviously you got a different type of cheese. Different countries have different regulations. If you go to France, Gruyère, Emmental, you need to have a minimum of 12 months, for example, and so on. There are 24 months. Every country has a different regulation. Being a certain cheese, which people probably know about it, is not much on the kosher market. It's what we call a blue cheese. Is I think in England it's very it's called a Stilton. Yeah, is it correct? It's actually made in up north in England. The Stilton have a blue color and a little bit of black inside as well. And it's, how do you do that? How does it become blue? A cheese, we never have blue milk. I don't think anybody has. Today you can make everything, but I'm saying it's a natural product. The way how to do it, besides the maker production, they add a certain ingredient, the white liquid, which is called a mold, a culture mold. Like you go to culture to produce the taste, the texture of the cheese, and according to what you want, the final result, that's what we use, a different culture. And here as well, they have a mold. The mold, again, it's a very delicate product, which most of them are usually cholov akum or chometz. The way a mold is done is you take a certain bacteria which is grow on a certain media, what they call, you give like wheat, bread, and it starts growing mold. So for example, we all have a certain amount of mold at home, we check out before it become a mold. But if we if we leave a piece of bread, for example, which has been with a moisture in it, and suddenly become mold, you take this mold and you put it into a milk, you see the texture will change, the color will change, and so on. So what they do today, obviously, they can't start going to bakery and start asking, do you have all the bread? We're going to start taking the mold, because they don't keep it after a day or two. I can tell you there's no bread left in the bakery. Baruch Hashem, the bakery don't waste it. There's some demand and it's going to good causes. But factories can't do that. So what they do, they take a bit of mold and they grow it on bread, which they make their own bread and so on. So obviously we got the first problem of chometz. And also, one of the ingredients, you need to give nutrition to the bacteria to start for the mold to carry on working and growing to a certain strength. Then you don't need to put buckets of mold into the milk, you just take a little bit and it's so strong and it will work on it. So maybe you need to concentrate it, so you give it a lot of nutrition. And a lot of nutrition, which is obviously milk, is a product which have a lot of natural nutrition. And they put a lot of milk powders, whey powder, lactose, which is the sugar of the milk, and so on, to feed, to give it. And this gives a moisture strength. When we came, we had recently an application to produce a certain blue cheese, and I started looking into the mold, where it's coming from, and it was actually what they call a gluten-free product. It was not challah Yisrael, it was clear, it was not challah Yisrael, but it was a gluten-free product, and which was used by many authorities for all around, for Pesach, and obviously the gluten-free shouldn't have been much of the problem. I started to look into it. Obviously. Well, not on the four things. But even wheat, you can have, you remove your gluten, you have gluten-free masses, you know. So I started, definitely. So anyway, I started to look into it with the particular cash authority who were working in this project. And we did discover that it was a gluten-free product, correct, but it was still made out of gluten-free bread, which is chometz anyway. Yeah? And obviously, like you said, it could have been from a different, on the four minimum things. And we have various problems. We came up with a solution, and it was a long way, but Baruch Hashem, it was done last week. We managed to have to use matzahs as a media, as a cultural media, what they call, a feeding for the small. So what you do is, you're taking the matzahs, and they, with various chemical and ingredients which was added to the blend, you will wait a little bit of time till the mold starts growing, and then you concentrate more and more. I can only tell you that it took about 6 weeks production, because into it every stage 17 times hashgacha you needed for the tiny amount of product which you need. By the end, I think it was 7 or 8 liters of final product, which is very strong. It's not it's very concentrated, but 7 or 8 liters I think came out of it. We made it with the cultural media with the which was massive, which again, it's not gluten free, it's not gluten free. So it was started with matzahs, which is kosher based. We didn't use any milk, so it was parve, although it's used later on in to the cheese, but it was too complicated to bring milk powder and so on. We used only brand new kalim, Baruch Hashem, and the factory who done it, I mean, for them was a huge challenge, and they were so excited. But at the end they said, look, we must do it again next year, this exercise. So I mean, you know, we sweated through 17 visits. It's not a company locally, I can tell you. It was traveling a lot and so on. And by Baruch Hashem, something which we have managed, and hopefully very shortly we will start producing this type of blue cheese, which have in which a lot of demand. I think there is a certain, I think, health is worth. Some people need a lot of mold to help digestion and so on. So I've been told there is a lot of some people are looking for this type of product. Baruch Hashem, I think I have shown from here a medical lesson that although sometimes ingredients are very difficult to do and to manufacture, it takes a long time, especially when you want to be in a high standard of kosher, if it's from challah Yisrael, pati Yisrael and so on, but one need to know you can always achieve the goal, and it just takes time and patience. Obviously, sometimes you don't get this 100% standard of final product, which the Goyish market have. But I remember speaking to one of the factories who manufacture culture. We were looking for a special culture, for a special type of milk product. He told me, look, there's no problem. We can do it. I should know, to produce a kosher culture will cost $50,000. 55 to produce from scratch for you a culture would cost $50,000, and there's not much need in it. So obviously there's a lot of money from their point of view involved and work and so on. Even when the market is huge, obviously the cost is absorbed through the sales, but when you have a limited kosher market, automatically it's quite difficult. So that is beitem one of the things about the cheese. Obviously, there are various types of cheese. I'm going to go into one more interesting type of problem and issue where you find in cheese, and that is particularly in mozzarella. Mozzarella, everybody knows, mozzarella is used mainly for pizza manufacturing and production, And the idea is because it's a stretchy cheese. Rather than the cheddar, it's more sticky and stable cheese, and the mozzarella is more stretchy. The reason is that Bishar, the production is done completely different, obviously temperature and so on, but there's one fundamental piece of production process which differ between the cheddar and the mozzarella. And that's it. Once you got your curd and you made up your blocks, what they call there, of cheese, then for the cheddar you take them and you put it to mature in a cooling plate for a couple of months and it's ready. But the mozzarella, you take the cheese and you cook it. So they have special cooker where they cook the cheese to make like a paste with live steam injection, which inject and cook it to about 80, 90 degrees centigrade to cook it properly, and mamish become like a liquid paste. And you have what they call the hand stretcher, like a mixer, which turn around and beat the cheese round and round, and does help the stretching structure of the cheese. And it goes for a certain amount of time. Once this is done, they're taking it, and it's cut into shapes according to what they want. It's put straight into a brine bath, which is salt and water, to cool down and to absorb the salty taste which one desire. And then it's not kept for maturity at all. The mozzarella is taken after 2 days production, you can get it in the shop. It's a very young cheese, and that's why you do not need to wait for 6 hours for mozzarella, because after 90 days, mozzarella has no taste, it doesn't stretch anymore, and you can't keep it for so long. So that's why mozzarella, if one would have known 100% that a certain pizza is done with 100% mozzarella, you have no problem. In England, we are more used to a cheddar mozzarella, which was the case for many years, which we didn't have any mozzarella. Recently, we have done some mozzarella, but the oilers still like the cheddar taste. So a lot of pizza manufacturing, and they are blending the both things together. So you have the stretchy, but you still have the taste in it. The biggest problem that you come up across in mozzarella and fish with that is the hachshor of the keli. Since you are cooking the cheese, obviously from Gvinet Akum, you need to kasher the keli. The companies are very afraid that the cheese will stick to the cooker, yeah, and so they need to have a certain material which will stop sticking. And one of the most popular cookers which are manufactured for mozzarella is enamel. Enamel is basically a shalef in a schuchit and a klicheres. It's a certain coating which is done of earth coating which you cannot kasher. Because like a klicheres, everybody knows that klicheres you cannot kasher. It's a material which is called enamel and it's impossible to kasher. And automatically, if you can't kasher it, you can't produce that as well. And that's what we came across. I can tell you many factories which we've been visiting, we couldn't have done, until we find a company. There are companies we use today with very good high quality stainless steel, which you can achieve the quality what they require. And today, I can say the mozzarella which is done in the biggest factory in England, who produce mozzarella for all the pizza factory. I'm not going to mention any names, but they're all done in Baruch Hashem. And we can manage to kasher the keli completely. No, I hope it was a little bit of explanation of the issue. Take it from here. The minhogi from Chazal, we see that Chazal, the Ramon brings a rope, should know either zach can be explained and understand. And the Iker, I think what the lesson we need to take is the hashkof from Ramon Shevenstein, although he was talking matir, the scholar of Akum for the remote control. And again, everybody can see it. Masha Enken, where he claimed clearly someone was looking for Chinuch, Abonim, and Elodim, and Abayit, it's not the way Cholila to avoid that. I will going to tell him one thing, and people will get surprised. I heard it from the first hand. A big Tashas authority in America, when they started being back 40 years ago with the certification system, he sent a letter, a shalit to Moshe Feinstein. He asked, since you have given a heter for all the whole of Akum products, can we certify the product? So there's a big difference allowing eating a product and certifying a product. Moshe answered back, "Biksav b'shum oifen. There's no heter of certifying. You're allowed to drink the milk because of gehalten. You have no choice to go in to give a certification. It's that you give a stamp, a heter, go more on it. Say b'shum oifen. This letter was not published until 3 years ago. The person retired and it was somehow leaked out, and the letter is still hand bixat. What I want to bring up from here is that the problem of Chol HaVakum is much more serious, and I don't want to go into all those issues, but even Rav Moshe, or people thought, yeah, it's muter and muter, but the truth of the matter is, himself, he didn't like it.